Hello.
Hi.
So what trick or treat do you have for us?
Okay, I am really excited about this because, as you know, I've wanted to cover this for a while, and so I'm taking my opportunity to share about the dark and terrifying history of LA's Cecil Hotel.
Dun dun
So
dun.
dun dun dun. So, in American Horror Story Hotel, the hotel that they were in was, it was loosely based off of this hotel, like all of the stuff. I don't think they actually filmed it there, but I could be wrong. I can't remember. But that's kind of like where this hotel is, where they kind of got the idea for that season. So I found that really interesting because I had never heard of the Cecil prior to that. But it does have a lot of interesting history. So I am just going to read this article from thelineup.com, and it's the Cecil Hotel. So the Cecil Hotel, located in downtown Los Angeles, has a long and spooky history of suicides, murder, and mysterious deaths. In 2011, the hotel was renamed on the Stay on Main or to the Stay on Main, but no amount of rebranding will ever erase the building's sordid past. In 1924, hotelier, I don't know how you would say that, William Banks Haner commissioned the construction of the Cecil Hotel. He envisioned a lavish 600-room building with stained glass windows, alabaster statues, and a gleaming marble lobby. Haner hoped the hotel's luxe design and accoutrements would attract tourists and businessmen alike. In 1927, the Cecil opened its doors, and it soon became the hotspot in downtown LA. The good times of the Roaring Twenties, however, were short-lived. In October of 1929, the stock market crashed, signaling the start of the Great Depression. Cities across the country and throughout the world were impacted by the economic collapse, including Los Angeles. While the Cecil held on to its glamorous appeal through the 40s, bright lights of the surrounding neighborhood dimmed and poverty settled. Main Street, where the hotel stands, became known as Skid Row. In the years that followed, the hotel fell unharmed on hard times, transforming into a hotbed of crime, prostitution, drug use, and violence. It was during this time that a number of the Cecil Hotel's darkest moments took place. In 2007, new owners took over the hotel. Renovations breathed new life into the structure as revitalization efforts took root across downtown LA in 2011. The hotel was renamed the Stay on Main. What was once a home for illicit activity is now a historical cultural monument in Los Angeles. Nevertheless, the building's dark history still entrances travelers and Angelenos like American Horror Story mastermind Ryan Murphy reportedly drew inspiration from the hotel while crafting the fifth season of his show American Horror Story Hotel. There we go. I didn't even know that was in here. But these modern turns toward rebirth cannot eclipse the years of chilling events that gave the Cecil Hotel its terrifying reputation. The
I'm
first of
really
many.
surprised that you have not heard of the Cecil Hotel before, like all of this.
So one of the stories that they talk about in this article, I had heard about that before,
Right.
Alyssa Lamb, but I did not know of all of the other stuff until I think it was when American Horror Story came out with their series Hotel, and it was like a ranker thing, and it was like the true story behind the hotel on American Horror Story Hotel. It was something like that, and I was like,
Right.
holy look. Okay. So, the first of many suicides to occur at the Cecil happened in November of 1931 when 46-year-old W.K. Norton, who checks in as James Wiles, after getting his room, the man took a large amount of poison pills and ended his life. Roughly a year later, 25-year-old Benjamin Dodich checked into the hotel, concealing a gun and his belongings. When a maid went to go clean the room on September 17, 1932, Dodich was found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. In 1934, 53-year-old former Army Medical Sergeant Lewis D. Borden was also discovered dead in his room. He had cut his throat open with a razor and also left behind a series of suicide notes, which detailed his poor health as the main reason for his choice to end his life. In 1937, Grace E. Magro became the first of many people to fall from one of the hotel's higher floors. As Magro plummeted from her ninth floor window, her body became tangled in the telephone wires. Authorities were unsure as to whether her death was intentional or not. In 1938, 38-year-old Marine fireman Roy Thompson threw himself off of the top floor of the Cecil. The same year, 39-year-old Navy officer Irwin Neblett checked into the Cecil and, similar to W.K. Norton, poisoned himself to death.
It would be interesting. It would be interesting to find out if, like, these deaths or suicides were all happening, like, on the same floor or, like, in the same room, or if there was some sort of, you know, how, like, there's supposed to be meridians that evil happens. If, like, this hotel is either on a meridian, or if, like, these deaths or suicides are happening, like, in the same area of the hotel.
I definitely was, like, wondering if there was some kind of, like, a dark horse. Like, what is the history of the land that it was built on? Mm-hmm. Or, like, I mean, I guess you could go as far as to say, like, did someone sell their soul to the devil for success with this hotel? It's just, it's something, like, very interesting that why people are drawn here.
Right.
And, like, why these bad things happen. In 1940, 45-year-old teacher Dorothy Skiger, I probably butchered that, consumed poison at the Cecil. The Los Angeles Times described Skiger's condition as near death. No other reports were filed about her. 7 years after Skiger's death, suicide struck again. In 1947, 35-year-old Robert Smith jumped out a window to the Cecil's Cecil's seventh floor. In 54, 55-year-old Helen Gurney also jumped from the seventh floor to her death. In 1962, 50-year-old Julia Moore jumped out of an eighth-floor window. The same year, 27-year-old Pauline Auden jumped to her death from the ninth floor of the Cecil and killed 65-year-old pedestrian named George Gianni in the fall.
Oh, man.
In 1975, an unidentified woman jumped from the 12th floor of the building. She registered herself as Allison Lowell, and she checked into the hotel. When she checked into the hotel, and authorities were never able to fully trace back her identity. The most recent suicide associated with the hotel occurred in 2015, when a 28-year-old unidentified man was found dead in front of the building. Some presumed he fell to his death, though no official cause of death was determined. In addition to the suicides, the Cecil Hotel also possesses a dark history of violence, murder, and grisly deaths. One of the hotel's more haunting stories occurred in September of 1944, when 19-year-old Dorothy Purcell birthed a child and then threw her baby boy out the hotel window. According to Purcell, she had no idea she was pregnant when she went into labor. After giving birth, Purcell claimed that she believed the baby was stillborn and threw him out the window. The newborn's body landed on the roof of the building next door. Purcell was charged with murder and tried for the crime in January 1945. She was found not guilty based on reasons of insanity. Violence struck again in 1964 when a hotel staff member found Pigeon Goldie Osgood dead in her room. Osgood, a retired telephone operator, was known throughout the area as someone who liked to feed the pigeons. When investigators examined the scene and her body, they concluded that she was raped, stabbed, and beaten to death.
Oh my
god. A few hours after the murder, authorities arrested 29-year-old Jacques Ellinger. Ellinger was spotted walking through Pershing Square, where Osgood often fed the birds, in bloodstained clothes. He was arrested but was later cleared of the charges, and to this day, Osgood's murder remains unsolved. Perhaps the most notorious murder connected to the Cecil is the Black Dahlia. It's highly believed that Elizabeth Short, the aspiring actress who was brutally slain in January of 1947, had a drink at the hotel bar in the days before her murder. The Cecil Hotel also served as a home base for a pair of notorious serial killers. In the mid-1980s, Richard Ramirez, also known as the Night Stalker, broke into the homes of unsuspecting women to bind, rape, and brutally murder them. During this time, he often stayed at the hotel and sometimes tossed his bloodstained clothing in the hotel dumpster. In 1991, Austrian serial killer and journalist Johann Unterberger, also called the Cecil Hotel home when he was assigned to write an article about prostitution in America. Unterweger was first convicted of murder in his home country of Austria in 1974, but was released 15 years later after convincing authorities that he was reformed. Sadly, he soon fell back into his old habits, murdering 3 sex workers while on assignment in Los Angeles. Unterweger was later arrested in 1992, convicted of murder, and in June 1994 was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The night of his sentencing, he hung himself in his cell. And one of the strangest occurrences to happen at the Cecil Hotel involved Alyssa Lamb, a 21-year-old Canadian college student who checked into the hotel on January 28th in 2013. She was scheduled to leave the hotel and travel to Santa Cruz on January 31st, but when her parents didn't hear from her, they called the police. A little over 2 weeks after Alyssa Lamb's disappearance, guests at the hotel complained of low water pressure. On the morning of February 19th, when staffers went to check the hotel's 4 rooftop water tanks, they found Lamb's naked body floating within one of the tanks. The eerie case transfixed the public, with many struggling to make sense of Lamb's final hours and her mysterious death. Access to the hotel rooftop is off limits to guests and the public. The doors are locked and only staff possess the key and passcodes. Any attempt at forcing open these doors should have triggered an alarm. Similarly, the rooftop water tanks are difficult to access, and presuming Lamb was alone, also challenging to seal up from within. Then there was the elevator surveillance footage recorded at the hotel. The footage shows Lamb behaving erratically inside a hotel elevator, mashing buttons, stepping in and out of the open elevator doors, waving her arms, rocking in place, and pressing herself into the corner of the elevator cab. Investigators released a clip as part of their investigation, and it soon went viral, with many viewers finding it unsettling to watch. The Los Angeles Coroner's Office ruled Lamb's death was the result of accidental drowning, with Lamb's bipolar disorder contributing to the cause of death. Still, many questions remain, fueling speculation and internet conspiracy theories. Some point to Lamb's mental state, others suspect foul play, while others still, especially those focused on the eerie elevator footage, believe paranormal forces were at work. So, and then there's actually this, was a ghostly guest captured on camera. Mm-hmm. With such a dark history, it's of little surprise that the Cecil Hotel possesses a reputation of being haunted. Many guests that check into the hotel report odd sightings and dark figures in their room. A handful of these paranormal experiences involve apparitions tugging at the guest's bed sheet. The most famous recording of this paranormal activity was a photo taken by Costin Alderete, a local resident. Alderete took the photo above of what looks like a specter hanging outside the 4th floor window of the hotel. The photo went viral, and many linked the paranormal phenomenon to the many suicides that have occurred during the hotel's operation. So I am going to save that picture, and I guess I'll upload it to our Instagram. Not to be creepy, but like, it is a very interesting photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is this hotel still operational order?
It is still operational, but they've changed the name to the Stay on Main.
To the Stay on Main.
Yeah. So it's no longer known as the Cecil, but I'm sure people still call it the Cecil. Like, let's just face it. Like, you can do whatever, like they said in the beginning, you can do whatever you want to try and, like, shine a turd. It doesn't work. Like, people are always going to know this is the Cecil.
Would you stay there?
Okay. Yes, I would, actually. But the part that, like, kind of means the most is it being on Skid Row, because I've just heard terrible things about Skid Row. So that actually is more concerning to me than the hotel itself.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was in like a not so good area.
I always thought that it was in a nicer area because it just sounded fancier to me.
I mean, oh, I totally get that. It's kind of like, I'm sure at the time, obviously, it was in a very nice part, but, you know, things change over time. We currently have Seattle, which was a once beautiful city, turning into a complete shithole. So, I mean, over time, things change and whatnot, but it kind of did make me question if, like, the people who were killing themselves, if they were going there because they wanted to die in, like, a place of beauty.
Right.
Like, they talked about, like, the opulence and the grandeur of the hotel. Maybe that's just something that they wanted. Like, they wanted one last, like...
Yeah.
Not, like, hurrah, but, like, to them, that was the ideal place to go. I don't know.
Yeah, like a nice and comfortable bed and a nice meal and, you know, something comfortable.
Yeah, but I do have to say, I have seen the Alyssa Lamb video footage. I'm not sure if you have.
I have.
It does raise a lot of questions. I know that they bring up her bipolar disorder, and I don't want to, like, sit here and just say that she was having, like, a mental break, but what if somebody recognized she was having a crisis and they were a sick, twisted individual who, like, fed into it? Because there's so many things, yeah. Like, accessing the roof, getting into the water tank, like, that they've said this isn't possible for her to have lifted the lid on the water tanks alone, let alone crawl in and completely seal it.
That's what's really sad, is that so many people are just like, oh, it was a mental illness, and we'll just, like, chalk it up to that. And it's just perpetuating that, like, it's a vulnerable person, so we'll just chalk it up to that, and they just, like, end the story there. And it's so sad, because it's like, it's someone who's vulnerable. Like, what about who could have taken advantage of that?
Yeah, because, you know, people do. Like, there are so many sick people out there.
Yeah, because they released the video because, you know, like, did someone see someone with her? Or did someone see someone do something to her? That was the whole reason they released the video. But still, people just want to say it was because she was sick. And that's really sad.
I don't agree with that. Like, I think that there's more to it than than that, in my opinion. I'm not an expert by any means, but I think there's more to it. And it did kind of make me question, like, so they, and like I've already said, they mentioned that the only people with rooftop access with the codes and the keys were people who worked there. Well, if you work there, you're going to know where the security cameras were. And the footage from the elevator, you know, she peeks out like she's trying to hide from someone, and then she comes back in. So it's very,
and I think at one point, doesn't she even look into the corner of the elevator and, like, if it was an employee or someone that knew the security cameras, they could have been hiding in the corner to evade like the security camera.
It's like she's talking to someone. I mean, the whole thing looks like, it looks like she's either hiding from someone who, say, is, like, trying to do her harm, or playing just, like, a really weird version of, like, hide and seek. Like, just the way that she creeps out and looks down the hall and then comes back in and kind of stands there. It is unsettling because you don't know what's going on. It looks like this is, like, a very, like, A-B interaction, but you only see A.
Yeah. And you know, like, what happens in the end. That's what makes it so unsettling, too.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this little mini trick-or-treat of Why Are You So Scared? And we will talk at you next time. Bye.